Ladies and gentlemen, friends, and open-minded people wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world. This is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. So excuse my voice. I'm still struggling, obviously, with some cancers, and unfortunately, they proliferated in my last test. And I'm public about that. I'm nothing to hide. It's just something that we have to go through. I was very successful my first round in the most challenging cancers, but I've gotten that under control. But what happens is sometimes the treatments also cost a lot in terms of your immune system, and sometimes when you have a cancer in another area, it flares up. And I know it would be very pleasurable for my enemies, and I have plenty of them in high places. It reminds me of that song, I got, you know, friends in high places. No, I have a lot of enemies in high places. And the people in the high places are the people that control American politics. And they made sure that every time I ran, I was outspent essentially 100-1. And I had a universal media attack upon me, suppression upon me. Even when I ran for office, I had many times that I had hotels cancel on us at the last second. It's very disruptive to a campaign. It's very disruptive to your element. I mean, it's just quite amazing. In my last campaign for Senate, I couldn't even get a credit card processor for a while. I couldn't. It's just amazing. They blocked my Twitter. They blocked my YouTube. So if every other candidate gets a chance to go on Twitter and YouTube, I mean, it's a big advantage, isn't it? But we have to understand that the media is not controlled. No. We have freedom of speech in America. There's no campaign interference by anybody, right? It was very convenient, though, that I couldn't tweet my defense. It seems to me that everybody should have the ability to defend themselves. In fact, our founding fathers who wrote our Constitution enshrined those principles in terms of our Bill of Rights. And actually, not just one amendment, freedom of speech, are the idea that everybody should have a right to express themselves fully. The government shouldn't work to suppress, and yet we know the government worked to suppress me and many, many others through social media. Fact. We also know that in my life, from a young man, I have bitterly been conscious of the Jewish question. And from my earliest days, I began to realize the terrible crimes that were going on against the Palestinian people. Interesting, because I knew about the crimes that were going on by the Jewish elite in America. And from a very early age, in fact, I've been talking about these things for years. I was talking with a very fine researcher, friend of mine, just a while back, and she said, and she was just talking about how the things that I was writing about, I was right about years and years ago, literally from the time I was a teenager. And the truth is, when I started to realize Jewish supremacy and Jewish supremacism, which I've been writing about for the last 50 or 60 years, I wrote a book of that title. And she pointed out that, you know, that all the, you know, leading anti-Zionists now are starting to talk about Jewish supremacism. Even B'Tselem, which is a Jewish civil rights group in Israel, along with Amnesty International, Norman Finkelstein, so many people now are talking about. Max Blumenthal, they're using a term that I created, which is a perfect term. And it really just totally illustrates. And it's so easily proven that Jewish supremacism is real. And it's not just the Zionist state of Israel that's Jewish supremacist. It's the current United States of America in the sense of the complete domination of Jewish oligarchs, Jewish billionaires, having the biggest influence on American politics over any other ethnic group. And you think about this and you start to look into it and you say, my God, this couldn't be true. A population is 2% of the population, but they are 35% of the billionaires. But Jews are much more ethnically arranged, much more ethnically connected and ethnically motivated. It's kind of like a mafia. You know, they support each other and they support their tribal goals because they benefit from it. There is so much privilege that Jews are accorded. We have this big battle right now where Trump doing their bidding, and this is the worst thing about Trump. This is a deal breaker for me about Trump. One of the reasons I first supported him, which I did in his first election, was because he got up at the debates like no other Republican or Democrat and started talking about these insane wars, such as in, guess what, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. And he modeled that after me because I was opposing the Iraq war. I knew that it was a war based on lies. I was traveling the world at that time, and the government literally instigated a IRS investigation later, an attempt to charge me with not paying enough taxes, even though they were arguing about a few thousand dollars difference in terms of what I was supposed to owe, what I was supposed to be my legal income, and what I put in my taxes. They audited me while I was in prison, sitting in prison for, you know, filing false tax returns and so forth, and acting like, oh, I was getting money from my supporters, you know, and then spending it on bad things, you know. But it was like when they finished the audit, they found out that I had a taxable income of $17,000. That is not really anything people sent me. Obviously, what people sent me, I was using. I was getting my books out. I was getting my magazines out. I was getting to travel out to go talk to the whole world on these issues and alert people to the threat of Jewish supremacism to all people. And as I was talking to a friend, it's like, it's really interesting the fact that the Jewish question woke me up to some issues that I was facing. For instance, I had studied the Jewish question a lot because of their role in communism, and I saw communism as a great threat to the world, which I think it certainly was, and I think it is. Communism has been dominated by this same tribe for a long time, and communism killed more people than probably any other ideology the world's ever known. Now, you can't dismiss this. You can't ignore this if you ignore history. Now, you can argue that the regime in Russia didn't follow the true, you know, aims of people like Karl Marx. However, Jews celebrate Karl Marx, and Karl Marx, believe it or not, and this sounds like a conspiracy theory, it's not, it's just fact. Karl Marx was indeed and I'm not exaggerating here, he was a follower of Satan. I mean, he literally praised Satan. I mean, his family called him my demon. It was like a common joke between the people. You know, he wrote a whole play called Mephistopheles about Satan. You know, he was literally a Satan worshiper. I don't say he was in secret Kabbalist meetings worshiping Satan, but the guy had a screw loose. And the interesting thing about Karl Marx and communism, it's true that Karl Marx said some very negative things about Jews. I don't think he believed in the Jewish religion. If he was more on the side of Satan, if he had any religious feelings, than he was with God. And I don't think the Jewish God, what the Jews envisioned or envisioned as God, was a God of love. It certainly wasn't a God that was saying we have to have the golden rule. It was a God that said, you got to enslave those non-Jews. And you can keep those slaves forever. You can practice usury, which Jewish scholars and Jews in the Talmud, like people like Maimonides, the most famous one of all, said there's nothing worse than usury. It's like biting. It's called nesek in the Hebrew language, which means biting. When they bite you and they don't let you go. And when they talk about how Jews, well, they were forced into lending and all that stuff, they weren't just forced in it. They weren't forced in it back in the first centuries when they went out of Judea into the Mediterranean regions, North Africa and Persia and many other places. They weren't, you know, forced into usury. Money lending, what we call loan sharking, we have criminal charges against that. And in those times, it was much easier because the economic knowledge and the scientific knowledge and the literate knowledge of loan sharking and usury wasn't as great. The Old Testament, again and again and again, condemns usury. Maimonides, in writing, he's the most famous Jewish philosopher and Talmudist commentator, probably of the Middle Ages, says, first of all, we got to understand that he was a radical Jewish racist. So he was, I think he was a doctor as well, but he said literally, he said that a Jewish doctor should never actually save the life of a Gentile unless he can't avoid it, because the Gentiles around will know that he let the Gentile die or purposely had him die rather than save his life. He literally wrote that. He also wrote that Jews cannot practice usury against fellow Jews because usury was evil. Usury was nezik, was biting, you know, and it is biting. It's addictive. It's like an opium addiction. It's terrible. Once they get their bite into your flesh, into your blood, your very sustenance, they don't rest until they ruin you. They take everything you own. They take everything that you would bequeath to your children. This is a long history of this, folks. The Jewish element in organized crime is another one of these things we can't even talk about. And yet Jews throughout history were famous for lots of organized crime. Now, people can say, well, they weren't allowed other occupations. So that's not really true back in the Mideastern times or in the early Mediterranean. A good example is even in Israel. Yeah, the Greeks didn't like some of the aspects of Jewish religion. The Jews hated the Greeks a lot more than the Greeks hated the Jews. And I don't think the Greeks hated the Jews. Actually, Greeks let Jews into their academies, into their top universities. They let Jews marry into their own, with their sons and daughters. They treated them individually and fairly. The reason Jews hated Greeks is because they said, man, what are you doing here? I mean, be tolerant of other religions. And, you know, and why don't you join humanity in me? And so they decided the threat that they talk about in terms of Hanukkah, this was the rise of the Hasmonean. They call it a dynasty. It didn't last but a few decades, but it's called a dynasty. Everything is aggrandized in the Torah. But it's like much bigger than what they were. It's according to Jewish philosophers and biblical scholars who reach into this. I mean, we can look into, for instance, Jerusalem with sixth, seventh century BC. And Jerusalem itself was just a small little community, a few thousand people. It was nothing. It wasn't a great empire, as basically said in the Old Testament. And I know it's a shock to you, because some of you want to believe every line of the Old Testament and the New Testament is just written in stone. But the truth is, the Bible and the copying of the Bible and the renditions of the Bible are written by people. And I certainly believe that parts of the Bible are inspired by the highest values of God and God himself, you could say, and as I believe that Jesus or the teachings of Jesus as described by the people who wrote the New Testament were very, very aware of the highest ethics that we should live by. And the New Testament makes it clear. So I'm not talking against the Bible. I mean, if people want to choose that God had a covenant with the Jews, and then the Jews broke the covenant. That's what most Catholics believe. That's what most Protestants used to believe. And now they get the lie that Jesus wants you, you know, that Jews don't need the grace of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ. That Jews have their own covenant with God. The truth is that Judaism was an enemy of all humanity and hated all humanity. Now, I'm not saying that everything they did was like that. There's some passages in the Old Testament you can find that seem to be kind, and you often see the phrase, you know, be kind to your neighbor, you know, thou shalt not kill your neighbor or hurt your neighbor. The problem is, and this is explained in the New Testament, and it's explained by biblical scholars, And you can do an AI search. You can do it's just a search of scripture. Jews considered the Old Testament scriptures when they said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, you know, whatever. When they talked about, these were laws that forbid the killing of fellow Jews. And Judaism had this very root hatred of non-Jews, of Gentiles, especially people like the Samaritans, which Jesus did a whole, and the New Testament has a big story about Jesus' parable on the Good Samaritans that helped the Jewish guy who was robbed on the road, gave him money, while the Jewish rabbis, the Jewish Sanhedrin, basically, the Jewish Pharisees, walked by and didn't lift a finger to help him. They stayed on the other side of the street when a fellow Jew was robbed, while the Good Samaritan. And the answer is the question, who is the neighbor? And the answer was, the Samaritan is. The New Testament is full of the idea that there is no more chosen people by descent. In fact, it's very clear that Jews as a group, as a collective, obviously, and Judaism itself became one of the most anti-Christian forces in the world. There's all kinds of discussion in the New Testament of the persecution, murder, crucifixion, terrible things that were done to the Christians by the Jewish intellectual elite, the Jewish oligarchs, so to speak. This is all there. And the idea, you know, the whole idea of Christian Zionism is just a slander. It's a slander against God. It's a slander against Christ. It's a slander against human dignity. Because the idea that people should treat everybody fairly and kindly with the golden rule, you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, was not a message that Jews taught. It was a message that Jesus taught that was in contradiction, and he knew it, and he explained it in the New Testament. The New Testament was about a new covenant, and it was for all mankind. A covenant not based on your descent as a Jew, but on your humanity, on your personhood. Treat people fairly and kindly. And so when I studied the issues of Jews, and I realized I was very anti-communist, and I realized the Jewish role in communism, which I saw as a murderous reality, and I knew the media was covering it up. The New York Times covered it up with their reporters in Russia while it was going on, where millions of Christians were being murdered, and their homes were taken from them, their property was taken from them, their wives and children were even raped and tortured to get confessions or whatever. It was horrible. And this is written about in major Jewish newspapers, but not allowed in the major papers of America that Jews own for the Gentile consumption. Huh. What a hell of a start here. And we can see all these things in our daily lives. Today, by the way, the last few days, we read about the suicide of Virginia. I think you're saying Jeffrey. Anyway, Guffrey, excuse me. I can't pronounce her name. I've read it more than I've heard it. But, you know, she, every day that she lived and every time she could do interviews, she was more revelation about the evil of Jeffrey Epstein and the whole gang that was behind him. And there's so many interesting links. Jeffrey Epstein was not just a Jew. And the members and the top people of the Jeffrey Epstein gang is actually a Mossad, basically a unit of the Mossad, or some people say the Israeli military, whatever it was. It was horrific, right? And every major person in it were very powerful Jews. Epstein, all right? Now, Epstein was brought into the Maxwell spy business with the daughter, Ghislaine Maxwell, the daughter of the most famous Jewish spy of Israel, who was a media mogul lying to the British people into those wars, like the Iraq War and all these other wars, and even including the creation of the State of Israel, including the First World War, which was a war that was absolutely one that worked out right for the Jews. I wonder why. Was it just an accident that it lined up that we had this war, and people knew that Germany, which was very militaristic and very powerful that way and had a great industrial center, that they would probably win a war if you had a war between Germany and Russia. Now, why would Jews want a war where Russia would be defeated in the war? Because Russia wasn't communist then. The Jews were trying to overthrow the Tsar. They hated the Tsar. He was called an anti-Semite. And that gave them a lot of motivation. They had huge Jewish economic power even before the 19th century. The Rothschilds were around since the 17th, 18th century before. Huge money. They even took over the British Stock Exchange by putting false information. The Rothschilds, saying that Napoleon had won the conflict. Won the conflict. When in France, in the battle in France, in Waterloo, when he actually lost it. So the British stock market crashed, and there's books on there's just literally books by Jews on the Rothschilds talking about how that they had this system where they got the information. They knew who was going to win or lose. And then once they knew that Napoleon had lost, they put out the information, supposedly, that Napoleon won, which caused the stock market to drop to nothing practically. And the Jews swept in and bought up most of the British Stock Exchange. That was the source of their greatest income. This is talked about and bragged about in books on the Rothschilds. They had money. They had influence. They later used that influence to get the Balfour Declaration. They also knew in the First World War, which we're going back to the First World War now, they also knew that this war also was lined up where Turkey, which was the Ottoman Empire, which controlled the Middle East, which they already, these Jewish Zionists already had their eyes on. They wanted a headquarters for their chicanery, for their criminal syndicate, that they wouldn't have to worry about prying eyes, with their own sovereignty, where they can make their plans for world domination and for the rise of the Jewish people with impunity. They wanted that. And they tried to first to subvert, and this is all historical. I can show you this in Jewish sources. They tried to subvert the Ottoman Empire with a massive offer of a bribe by the Rothschilds to this great Sultan of what was the Ottoman Empire, which had lots of debts. Lots and lots of debts. They had lots of wars. They had lots of lending. And you went, the biggest banks of the world at that time were Jewish banks. And so the Rothschilds literally went to the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire and said, look, if you let Jews settle in, the same thing they argued with the British, by the way, later, if you want the Jews settle into Palestine, if you won't restrict that, we will cancel all the debts of the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Sultan, to his credit, said, no, these are still our subjects. We're not going to betray them. Jews weren't 2% of the population, maybe 4% at most, and less than 2% of the land owned by Jews. We're not going to let these people come in who are, you know, and anybody looking into it, if you read the early Zionists, you knew how racist they were and horrible they were. So this is that war. The war against Western civilization has been going on a long, long time. You see, the first ethnic cleansing, and the most important ethnic cleansing, was not in terms of Palestine. It was not in Palestine. What paved the way for that was the ethnic cleansing of Jews in terms of the Western media and the infiltration of governments, the corruption, for instance, of the British crown, for instance, by the Sassoons, who corrupted the British crown with massive bribery, and they got Britain to back the opium wars to protect the Sassoon opium trade to China, which destroyed millions of innocent Chinese and got them wrapped up and addicted to opium, heroin, drugs. Horrible. And then just to make sure they could continue that trade unabated, they got Britain to go send their soldiers and fight in what's called the Opium Wars. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And that was the Jewish corruption that did this. The slave trade I've talked about. Jewish Publication Society brags about the fact that Jews completely dominated the slave trade. I've been over this so many times. Now let's look at the Epstein ring again. Here's the people involved, the main figures that were involved in the Epstein spy ring. All right. First, of course, was Epstein. Who was Epstein? He was a big Zionist. He was the secretary of the mega group under Wexner, one of the richest Jews in the United States. And in this group was Laufer, head of the World Jewish Congress, right? And Epstein was actually a partner of the former head of Israel, a financial partner, billion-dollar partner with Ehud Barak, former Israel head of the Israeli state and head of everything, including the Mossad as the head of the Israeli state. He was a partner with this guy. His main attorney for his Jewish mafia attorney was Dershowitz, who was absolutely loyal to Jews. He's the biggest apologist, the biggest advocacy for Israel in the world, telling us, oh, no, it's not genocide over in Gaza. Oh, no, nothing like that. And the truth is that every time we pick up a newspaper article, we get these lies. They're diminishing this casualty rate, which is already horrific. If the casualty rate was true, it was enough to try thousands of people in Israel for genocide and put them in prison for the rest of their life, minimum. Over 50,000, 20,000 children now. But it's really probably three times that, buried in the rubble, 95% of the dwellings in an open air prison. By the way, every time they describe it as a war, it's not a war. You know, a war is when you got two armies facing each other. The Palestinians have no tanks. They have no advanced weaponry. They have no jets. They have no, 100 kilograms bombs, much less 1,000 kilo bombs. They don't have satellites. They don't have intelligence that way. They don't have a massive intelligence agency that infiltrates and has massive funding. They don't have any of that stuff. They're a prison camp. They control everything that goes in and out of the country. It's not a war. It's a genocide. It's a massacre. It's murder, plain and simple. And the greatest percentage of victims are children. In fact, the biggest demographic group that's been killed and injured and maimed and disfigured for life and blinded and crippled and harmed have been Gazans between the ages of 5 and 10. That is the highest demographic death toll in Gaza. Of all the demographic divisions that you want to make in Gaza, the highest is Gazan children between 5 and 10 years old. It's mass slaughter of children. It's not a war. It's just slaughter. You have a war is when you have two armies. Man, Phil, this isn't that. This is a war to ethnically cleanse and destroy the Palestinians. So let's go through it. So here's Epstein. He was a member of all these Jewish groups. Like many others, he donated lots and hundreds of millions to Harvard and got other Jews to do it. And Jews have controlled Harvard and Ivy League for a lot of time. And they laid the foundation for the World Economic Forum, which was run by three Jews, Kissinger. I'm talking about the foundations for it. Kissinger. And we can go to more people. Gouda Goldman, son of Nahum Goldman, who was the biggest Zionist leader. And they, what they wanted to do was, they were concerned about National Socialism. What they were really concerned, because by the 19 late 40s and early 50s, they knew that the Jews, the Jewish minority, these Jewish communists who controlled the Communist Party, had lost out entirely. They had influence until eventually the Russians overthrew them. And then the Russians overthrew them. They took down the Communist flag. They put down the Iron Curtain. And then they and then they had democracy. And immediately the Jewish money came in and bribed in the democratic city. That's why they prefer democracy, because they can go in there and change it. If they have a leader dedicated to the people that's not affected by money because they control the country, it's more dangerous to them. Boy, it all makes sense when you think about it. 9/11, there was a role of Al-Qaeda in it. And 9/11 and Al-Qaeda and San Bin Laden was financed by Jews in the American State Department, the American government, because they knew that Russia, even though it was ostensibly communist, had overthrown the Jews, and they knew it was a matter of time before Russia would totally adapt an issue and a national footprint, a national value system that supported the Russian people rather than let the Jews control them. So you had Maxwell. You know, I don't even want to give you, it's a long, this guy was, Maxwell, for Ghislaine Maxwell and Robert Maxwell, Maxwell's not his real name. Sounds like a nice English name. No, it's not an English name. It's a Jewish name. But they don't go by their Jewish names. And part of that reason they do is to make them not so obvious for a lot of them. Name changing is all the time. But anyway, not all the time, but it's definitely a lot of it out there. They have to be a little, they have to be deceptive. They don't want to let people know that they, but every single key figure, Ghislaine, Maxwell, Epstein, were all Jewish radical Zionists. Wexner gave him the $64 million mansion in New York. It's called the James Bond mansion by the New York Times, you know, cameras in every room. It was about blackmailing, with the ultimate blackmail. And that's discussed by another one of the people involved in it, was none other than Ari Menashe, who was a member of the Israeli Intelligence Directorate. We know that for a fact. But he had some conscience. And he says that Maxwell was his agent. Ghislaine was. And he knew Epstein too. And he said it was the ultimate blackmail scheme to control people. It's like the honeypot of spies, you know. And in the process, they violated and harmed so many young, impressionable, beautiful Gentile women, like Virginia Giffrey, who allegedly committed suicide. That's questionable. I have a video of none other than Jimmy Dore, you know, questioning this. And it's a good questions about this. Who else was involved in it? So Wexner, and she was in this very sick fashion industry, completely dominated by Jews. And there's a reason why they start these models and do these models at the ages like 13, 14, 15, because these people are massively pedophiles. If you read the Talmud, you realize that there's lots of pedophilia in there. Not only of women, but men too. The head rabbi of Israel, that I keep talking about, his name is Karim. Before he was appointed the head rabbi of the Israeli army to teach them about their morality, he said publicly, and I got a headline from YNET News, this is Jewish headlines. I'm not making this up, folks, but it seems like you would be making up something so hideous, something so evil. He says, you know, the headline in the Jerusalem, in YNET News, the biggest publication in Israel, is head rabbi. And he was actually the appointee at that time. He became appointed and he served the last 9 years. Says that it's perfectly permissible for Israeli military soldiers to rape attractive Gentile women, I guess, and girls, and apparently boys too, because that's exactly what the Israeli army does in their prisons. And when you get under the control in a torture chamber and you have no rights and you have no, you're totally out of touch with anybody, family, friends, support, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have been tortured. That's even according to the New York Times, Jewish writers that casually mention this. Joel Greenberg mentions about the Intifada and how the 500 Palestinians a month were being tortured in Israel. 500 a month, different Palestinians, 6,000 a year. In 5 years, that's 30,000. That was just in a five-year period. It's been 7 years of this crap. Tortured. That's why the Palestinians actually did October 7th. They wanted to capture some Jewish soldiers and also attacked a military bases. And they wanted to kidnap Jewish soldiers and trade them for their hostages. But you don't hear about Palestinian hostages. You don't hear about the rapes of men and women in Israeli prisons, including little girls. There is a relationship between pedophilia and homosexual predation and Jews that is pretty obvious. You ever heard of the Man-Boy Love Association? That's not something we study very much, obviously. But it was done by Mr. Allen Ginsberg, famous Jewish poet and philosopher and so forth. The Man-Boy Love Association, which promoted Jewish men raping and sodomizing and abusing young men, kids. Man-Boy Love Association. You can't make it up. And he was so brazen that he was public about it. Alan Dershowitz, we've talked about. Epstein was in partnership with Barack. Another one of the things, the head of the European aspect, was Jean-Luc Brunel, another Jew. I got a picture of him at the pedophile island with an Israeli army hat on. Israeli army. You can see it. He committed suicide. Oh, yeah. Oh, Epstein didn't commit suicide. No way. You know, I've got Israel at the trial, his trial. And Epstein was a self-serving Jew. I don't think ever he would have ended his life voluntarily. But they had an interest. They knew that Epstein was, like most of these Jews, very self-serving. They were certainly pro-Jewish, but when it comes time to their own ass, their own skin, they'll do anything. And he knew that the only thing Epstein could trade for a little bit of leniency in the time he spent in the rest of his life in jail, or part of his life in jail, was by giving information on these other Jews and the aspect of the Mossad or the aspect of these people that he had corrupted and blackmailed. And that wouldn't be good for the Jews. It wouldn't be good for the Jewish cause, because they love the fact that perhaps Bill Gates is under their blackmail. I don't know if he is or not, but I think it's pretty evident that he made a lot of trips to the island. I think the only way I can explain the Robert Kennedy thing, even though I like his position about COVID, I like his position about all that stuff and about natural foods and all this other stuff, he also went to Epstein Island. So the first thing he does, he talks about the greatest health crisis, is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism? It's Semitism. If you define Semitism as being anti-Jewish, it's Jewishness that's killing tens of thousands of children and others and bringing us into wars that are killing millions of people. This has been that way for decades now. And you can even count the First World War, as I said earlier, and the Second World War. And you can count the wars since then. The cost of human life is incredible. As I was telling my researcher friend the other day. It's kind of interesting. So as a young man, I became aware of the fact that Jews were trying to change the ethnicity of the United States of America as a way to conquer America, to divide and conquer. This is what they always do. I saw this interview, very interesting interview. Jimmy Dore showed this thing with this woman who was viciously non-Jew, but she just lived in the neighborhood near the Chabad Lubavitch, and she was viciously attacked by 100 radical Jews screaming at her, they're going to rape her and have her bend over and they're going to rape her and all this other crap. Well, that figures. That's in line with Israel. The Jews were doing that, not just to women, but to men too. I mean, it's just crazy. And you can't believe this unless you just think about it, unless you look at the facts. But the Israeli Knesset was literally arguing and debating whether it's okay to rape. It was like, this is a debate. It's okay to rape non-Jewish prisoners? Is that okay? That's okay. Little boys, men, women. The rabbi says, oh, it's okay. Jewish soldiers and the IDF. Right? When you get a pause in the fighting, it's fine to rape those Goyim girls. By the way, folks, the Goyim are you. Whether you're European or Asian or African or, you know, Native Americans of Indian descent or what we call the descent of the Indian peoples. Yeah, it's like we call them Indians, but that's not exactly what they were, but they came from Asia. But it's like, whether you talk about any of these people, you're a goy. And what he was saying there is, it's fine for Gentiles to be raped. Attractive Gentile women, how vicious can you get? How vile? In fact, he even said in his statement, his own written statement in his own hand, in his own words, on his own blog, was, it's fine to give in to your evil inclinations to rape an attractive Gentile woman. Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Epstein spy ring was evil. And the fact that the Epstein spy ring, none of our mainstream media, just like the Hunter Biden laptop, they told us the big giant lie, and they brought in their Jewish deep state people and the people that who are collaborators of the Jewish deep state. And they said, oh, no, this is, the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. Like everything else in the world, everything these Jews tell you as a group, as a power structure, is the exact opposite of reality. The fact is, the Russian disinformation was that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. The real information, disinformation, was Jewish disinformation. Jews are 18 and 20 the biggest contributors of Clinton, 9 out of 10 of Biden. I can show you how they're 9 out of the 10 of Kamala Harris. I can show you how, you know, the top three contributors of Trump, or at least except for Musk, were Jews. And Musk tried to sue the ADL because he knew they were destroying him. And by the way, they're getting him. They can't publicly come out and say they're trying to destroy his company. But the mainstream media under the Jews is trying to destroy Tesla. That's why you turn on NPR and you hear every day, they can't afford one Gentile that maybe even talks about freedom of speech, even though he bent a knee to the ADL. He went on his tour to Auschwitz with Ben Shapiro. I mean, even though he had some good instincts, he said these same people that do these posts are people that hate white people. And by the way, that's what caused my transformation in a way. Oh, I still love my people. I love the traditions of Europe. I love the traditions of Greece and Rome and what has been Europe. The beautiful societies that we created in Europe, in Poland, in Germany, in Scandinavia, in France, in Great Britain, in Italy, in Spain. I love these traditions, and I do respect all peoples. And I came to realize that they were ethnically cleansing America. And you know what? They've just about succeeded in it. We're going to be a minority soon. We were, for most of the 20th century, even up at the time I graduated from college, we were a vast majority. In fact, we were almost, not quite, but in the 80s, a percentile, 85 to 90%, not 90, but high like that. This has all been in a short, just my lifetime, in the blink of an eye of a nation. And yet, this is the reality. This was created by Jews. And that ethnic cleansing, first they did it in the media, and they did it in academia, and they called academia anyway. And now they've even got the President of the United States saying these institutions that you can't get any money at all unless you silence any critic of these Jews who've subverted America. They committed terrorism against America in the Liberty Affair. They committed terrorism against America in the Levant Affair. They led us into wars that have cost the lives of thousands and thousands of Americans, cost us trillions of dollars, and they've killed millions of innocent people all over the world. Yeah, if Epstein was Russian and a partner of Putin, right, and his team were all dedicated Russians, like with names like Romanov, the media would have absolutely made you and every person on earth know it. It'd been in every article. Those dirty, nasty, terrible, evil Russians destroying the lives of all these young girls and, you know, running a scheme to blackmail people in the West so they control their policies and control what they say, just like they're maybe controlling RFK, who says first thing is after he's elected, oh, the biggest threat to health is anti-Semitism. No, the biggest threat to health in this world in terms of these wars, in terms of the Sacklers and the promotion of the epidemics we've had that RFK is opposed to, in terms of the opium epidemics that were done by the Sassoons, in terms of the slavery, which was led by Jews, in terms of the porn, which is led by Jews, the destruction of so many lives, the promotion of alcoholism and all sorts of other destructive things, LGBTQism, which they don't allow in Israel. Well, they allow you to be a faggot. I better not say this. I'll get any of the few things we're on, I will get blocked. But they allow you to be homosexual or to have, you know, to have these things. But you can't really do that if you're married and you have a divorce. You can't let the spouses visit the homosexual spouse, whether lesbian or homosexual male, because that affects the birth rate. Folks, the reason why the Palestinians are facing what they're facing, the reason why we had the Iraq War, the reason why we had the support for Al-Qaeda, the reason why we had the rise of ISIS, which I can show from Israeli newspapers, was done by Jews. This is because they got supremacy over the American media, the American political establishment, American fundraising. That's why we have this. This is the most important fact of life. That if you don't understand, you don't realize, you're helpless. You can't fight an evil force unless you identify it. You just can't do it, folks. It's absolutely impossible. I never get to show much of my videos. But Jimmy Dore had a really good thing. Virginia Jeffrey, another suicide. Guffrey, I think. I can't pronounce the name. But anyway, the same thing is true. She was, her life was ruined by these Jews, damaged by the Jews, and the culture that Jews subvert to make our children, male and female, subject to these damaging aspects of them. It all is perfectly reflected in the fact that the Jewish Museum has this big thing on the Frankfurter School, which were all Jews, and they talk about the fact they're all Jews, and they all worship Karl Marx, which they referred to by his Jewish name of Karl Halevi, and how the critical theory, which is the modern theory that's running so much of academia, is called critical race theory, critical gender theory, all these things, which is so destructive of us, but not practiced by the state of Israel, because Israel wants a big birth rate. Israel wants Jews to survive, but they want all other people not to be allowed to have their own identity like the Palestinians. The reasons why Palestinians are being ethnically cleansed is because we don't have an America that's made in the interest of America. It's made in the interest of a tiny Jewish minority that is corrupt to the bone. That doesn't mean all Jews are evil or doing bad things, but it means that the Jewish power structure, this is 80% of Jews voted against Donald Trump. And for the same reasons, they did that because the Jewish establishment didn't like Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, they didn't know for sure if he was going to support their wars. They tried to bribe him and do an assurance policy with him. They didn't know for sure. They like surety. So they supported Biden. Big time. Kamala Harris. But they've corrupted Trump. And now Trump's trying to say that he's going to, and he is, he's making it unlawful to criticize these same Jews who've been destroying Western civilization and also destroying the men and the women of the country of Ukraine, trying to destroy Russia. The Council on Foreign Relations, led by a Jew, founded by Jews, like Kissinger, the latest versions of it, anyway, Kissinger, Guido Goldman, Herman Kahn, the same Jews, they're talking about dividing up Russia. So Russia can't stand against the power of the Jewish-controlled United States. It's Jewish control. That's the truth. That's not anti-Semitism. And Judaism itself is the most racist religious doctrine that's ever been proposed. These people are Nazis. And I know what I'm saying is offensive to people who even think of themselves as German National Socialists. I'm talking about the way that people are conceiving Nazism. I'm talking about the Hollywood version, the very worst version of German National Socialists, the evilest version. Jews are the ultimate Nazis on planet Earth by the definition of Nazism created by Jewish Hollywood. These are the ultimate Nazis of the world. That is dynamic fact, folks. Love y'all. I'll be back again tomorrow with Mark Collette. Go to my website at davidduke.com. It's a great resource. Go to my Gab at Real David Duke. Go to my Odyssey. Watch my original videos. You'll love it. Go to my books. I don't have many of them. I've got some to get those republished. I need your support. You can also get them through Money Tree Publishing, Dave Gahari. Also watch FTJmedia.com. I love you, and I'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye now.